It's one of those scriptures that has the outline right in it. What depths? Amen. And you go on to read and you find it's depths of sin. Depths of condemnation. Depths of iniquity. Amen. Need for forgiveness. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. What is your depth tonight that you're crying out for? My, they used to sing a song, I'm wading through deep water trying to get home. Hallelujah. Are you wading through deep water tonight? What kind of depths are you in? Amen. Ah, yes. I've been through fire and water, another song refrain says. Praise God. Hey, how hot is the fire where your feet have been walking tonight? Praise God. I've got the answer for you right from the Bible. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Aren't you glad you can cry out to God? Amen. Yeah, I'll tell you, it gets so bad after a while. You'll lose all your pride and bashfulness, amen, and you'll just bellow out your prayer. You don't care who hears you. Oh, God, have mercy on us and help us, praise God. Brother Warren Moorhead said he worked on a loading dock with a fellow that said he didn't believe was any God down at Searcy, Arkansas. That's Tornado Alley. Amen. One day a tornado was coming through. Amen. He had to hold one end of the tarpaulin, and the wind took that tarpaulin and wrapped it round and around and around him and started lifting that infidel off of that loading dock, and he said, oh God, save me. Oh God, save me. Amen. He didn't believe in God, but the wind just wasn't blowing hard enough. Gets to blowing hard enough, you cry, oh God, save me. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Lord, hear my voice. Yeah? Let thine ears. Does God have ears? Sure. Just like yours. In fact, your ears is a carbon copy of His. Did you know you look like God? You're made in His image. Amen. He was the model that you was made after. That's why the Bible says if you don't love your neighbor whom you can see, how can you say you love God whom you can't see? Your neighbor looks just like God. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Just like God. He's got ears. Amen. We don't have to pray loud like that. God ain't deaf. But He's not nervous neither. Amen. You can cry out to Him. You hear Him. There's something about it that helps the soul just to really cry out. Oh, God. Amen. Try it. Swallow your pride. Praise God. And cry out to Him. Forget about the neighbors here. And they need to hear somebody praying for once. Instead of so much other junk. I mean, go down. Last night we sat beside the road. And some guy had one of them bloom, blam, bloom, blam. Amen. And you could hear him way back up the road before he ever got to us. And you could hear, didn't even know which car it was. But down the interstate he went, bloom, blam, shaking my doors. He didn't care. He didn't care if he played his rock. He didn't care if he turned up his 5,000 or 3,000 watts on them big old speakers. Amen. And vibrated the whole highway and let everybody know that he had the music on. He's playing his tape. Don't you think they ought to hear somebody crying out to God once in a while? Amen. Nowadays, a many a revival is a quiet decision standing before the preacher. Amen. And people don't hardly open their mouth, don't hardly hear a peep out of them. They're real guilty. I mean, they're really on a deep trip. I mean, out of the depths of their heart, they whisper their decision. Amen. Not David. And you won't either if you get into depths. Things get deep enough. Water gets deep enough. Amen. Trouble gets bad enough. Out of the depths I cried. I cried unto the Lord. Amen. They used to preach to us about don't seek the Holy Ghost like a bunch of rugs laying on a porch rail. Amen. Raise your hands and praise God and glorify God. And most of the time I felt like seeking God like rugs laying on a porch rail. Amen. But oh, hallelujah, when I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I was sitting right straight up with my hands raised right straight up and looking right straight up. Amen. And started speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. There comes a time, amen, to get off the porch rail like a rug. Hallelujah. And begin to glorify and magnify God. Come on now, young folks. I know you got pride. I know you think somebody's going to look. Hey, they need to see young people seeking God. They need to see young folks crying out to God. Amen. In that revival in old Midway Church where sometimes they stayed all night long, they would come to church early and prayer service was really prayer. They come to church early. They didn't come to church early and read the bulletin board. They didn't have none. Amen. They come to church early and they went straight to the altar and cried out to God. I wish some of our preachers would do that. It would set the example for a whole lot of the laity, praise God. It'd be a whole lot less flippance and a whole lot less gossip before church if people came to church and cried out to God. James Green, Gerald Green's oldest brother, J.W. Hatfield. Amen. Those men that were young people in that revival. Amen. Oh, James Green would lay out across that altar. Praise God. This is a half hour before church started. A half hour before dark 30. Amen. He was crying, oh, God. Pour out your spirit in the service tonight. Amen. Hey, J.W. Hatfield was over there. Praise God. He had him a corner and he was crying out to God. I learned how you ought to do it as a young Christian from them. When you're in revival, revival is characterized by prayer. Amen. How many depths are you going to have to submerge? How much mud is going to have to go over your head? How much of a guilt trip are you going to have to get on? Amen. How many depths are you going to have to wade through before you turn loose and cry out to God? David said, I cried, amen, unto the Lord. Unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. You think he cares about whether you pray silently or out loud? What do you think he gave you that voice for? What do you think he gave you that set of vocal cords for? Did you ever try to imagine what a miracle your vocal cords are? I mean, you can get up with a set of vocal cords and sing like Norma was a while ago. Praise God, and those girls was a while ago. I mean, you can get up with a set of vocal cords and you can make every note in the scale like Brother X was a while ago. Ooh, amen. And there's nothing sounds as good to God as the human voice. He made it. Amen. Can you imagine that there's a box down here somewhere in the vicinity of our Adam's apple that's got some cords stretched across that are controlled by muscles and you at will with your brain can sing loud or low. You can holler loud or whisper. with that miraculous set of vocal cords. What do you think God gave you those two vocal cords in that box for? Amen. What an amazing thing. It's the voice box of a human being is so amazing, it's almost scary. I mean, if you could pull it out of there and put your finger on it while it's in operation, it'd just about scare you. Amen. Because it's a miracle thing. And then the amazing thing about it is that he made ears for a human. Amen. In that ear mechanism is some nerve strings that go to the brain, and they're tied into an ear drum and a hammer and a stirrup, they call it. And with that ear drum and that hammer and that stirrup, they can catch what the great tenor is singing and reproduce it. Yes, sitting right here in church, we can catch what Dale Townsend is singing. And then they reproduce it. And the nerves carry it to our brain. An amazing thing. We can hear it. That's exactly like you produced it, praise God. Amazing thing, this machine that God has made. And you know, more amazing, and I've already mentioned it, and pardon the repetition. Amen. It's a copy of his own body. God has an ear too. And he reproduces your cry. He hears your cry. Amen. An amazing thing about it is that a mother can hear a dozen babies cry in the house, and she knows her baby's cry. Isn't that amazing? You think if a mother knows its little child's cry? Amen. They told about a man down in Georgia that his kids was out playing. One of the kids began to scream, and another went over to help it, and he found it had been bitten by a venomous snake. And as he tried to help the child, he got bit also. And the father heard the noise, and he came out and grabbed both kids up and threw them in the car and backed out and forgot about the other child and backed over its head and crushed its head and killed it. Well, he got out to see what he had thumped over and what had made the racket when he ran over something, amen, and died with a heart attack right on the spot. The two children in the automobile both died from snake bite there in the hot sun. And the mother comes out and comes on a scene like that. You think you got troubles? Brother, that's out of the depths I cried unto the Lord. Amen. Oh, God, he's not like that. He hears the cries of his children, and he can take care of all of them without backing over the other. Amen. Butch was my buddy in Kansas City. Butch McClain. Amen. He worked at all kinds of odd jobs, but at this particular time, he had a gizmo that he could go in these ponds and golf courses and get all those golf balls out of the pond. And he took them home and washed them in a washing machine and sold them back to the golfers. Amen. And Butch and I, we hunted quite a bit together, bird hunted together, and we had the dogs in the back and the guns, everything. And he had had his trailer hooked on behind and was going to pull out and stay all night out in the western Kansas edge of Nebraska. Maybe we were going up into Nebraska. I don't remember on this particular jaunt. We hunted both places. Amen. Had a little camper on the back. Amen. And we was going down the road and he slowed down and something started to pass him. And he said, "Oh, no." And his camper had came off the hitch and was passing him as he slowed down for the stop. And the camper rolled off down and the tongue stuck in the ground. Amen. And wrecked. And by the time we got it hooked back on again and got back out and he examined his guns, one of his guns, the stock was busted. But we went on to hunt Butch McClain. I gave him my best old bird dog, old Twig. Never could fatten him up. But old Twig looked poor and skinny. Amen. You couldn't feed him enough to fatten him and make him look like he was the run of the bunch when my brother-in-law gave him to me. And so I named him Twig. A pointer. Amen. With lemon spots on the white. Amen. Old Twig loved to hunt them little birds. Amen. It might have been on that very hunt that we jumped, I guess, 80 birds in one covey. Amen. And they flew down a draw and we shot a lead mine at them and I didn't see a bird fall. Amen. And we went on down and old Twig was pointed right down on the ground just like this. And I thought, well, we've wounded one. I'll go out and pick that one up. And here he is. He's looking right between his paws, right at a little old quail, right between his paws. And I reached down to pick it up, and it wasn't dead. It went, floom, scared me to death. I couldn't have shot at him if I'd have had a machine gun. Amen. And that bird flew out of there. He wasn't moving. He was hiding. Old Twig had him pointed right between his paws. And Butch, I gave him old Twig. He sold him to Ronnie Harrison. Ronnie Harrison hauled him down in Oklahoma in his trunk and left him in the trunk in the hot sun. He suffocated. Amen. And I thought I'll never give my good dog to anybody anymore. Amen. But anyhow, Butch McClain was in and out, up and down. And after we came here to pastor the church, I heard the news how that Butch backed over one of his grandchildren and killed him right in his own drive. Amen. I went to Grundy, Virginia several years ago and I stopped to see my friend Buford Smith. I'd preached for him many times. We'd pastored together in the Barberville area. And I had forgot all about his daughter backing out of his drive and backing over his only grandson and killing him. And I began to brag about my grandchildren. I forgot. Sister Collins, I'm honest. I forgot. I didn't remember. I was telling him about my grandchildren. We had finally got some. Amen. And he hung his head and he said, "I used to have a little grandchild." And then suddenly, I remembered his daughter, whom I've known since she was a child, had backed over her baby boy in Grandpa's driveway and killed him. I'll tell you about God tonight. He'll never back over one of his children. His ear is open to their cry. His wings are full of eyes. He can see and act. Amen. No size. Praise God. Amen. He knows how to take care of the situation. Praise God. God knows what He's doing. Amen. And David said, "Out of the depths I've cried, O Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication." Amen. There's not many children here tonight but what can turn it on just right and just about get what they want out of dad and mom or grandpa and grandma. Oh, they know how to turn it on. Amen. I mean, Rebecca probably knows how to put on that face and wind Daddy around her finger. Huh? You think God don't love His children? He loves you. And you know what? He wants to hear your voice. He knows the tone of your voice. Amen. I was driving to Richlands, Virginia. I was in Kansas City pastoring, and I'd been gone from Middletown a while. Amen. And here I am. I've made it all the way down into Kentucky, Prestonburg, Kentucky. And I'm going around Prestonburg, and I'm on the CB. And I heard that unmistakable voice from Middletown talking to somebody. Amen. And so I came in there, breaker, breaker, for that J.C. Fletcher. Amen. One of my former members was going to Richlands too. Amen. I heard him on the CB. God knows your voice. You think if I know your voice, God don't know it? Amen. God knows it. I was driving across between the Ohio River in Paducah, Kentucky, listening to the Swap Shop, the Southern Illinois station, Metropolis, I think. Amen. And I heard an unmistakable voice come on the Swap Shop saying, I've got numerous fishing poles and this, that, and something else. Amen. And I just laughed out loud. Praise God. There's Brother Clifton Gallagher on the radio. Selling stuff on the Swap Shop. I told him later. I heard him on the radio. Amen. I knew his voice. Unmistakable voice. Ah, listen. Amen. You can't fool these old ears most of the time. Amen. But I fooled Clifton at least one time. Amen. I came into Granite City and I decided I'd heard he went pheasant hunting and didn't kill anything. Amen. And so I called him up on the telephone and I told him, this is Grandma Schnellock, Brother Clifton. And I'd just like to have a pheasant or a quail or anything. And he said, who is this? And I said, it's Grandma Schnellock. S-N-I-L-L-O-C. Spell it backwards, dummy. He still couldn't guess who it was. Amen. Finally, the kids, they guessed who it was. Said, Collins, Collins, Collins. He said, Sister Collins. He said, you sure had me fooled. It made my wife so mad that she wouldn't even speak to him when he came to the house. Amen. And she thought, to think that Clifton would have thought that she would have pulled anything like that. It wasn't her. It was Grandma. Amen. And so every once in a while, I get on the telephone. But once you've heard it, it's unmistakable. Amen. I've left a few, and the few times I've talked to these answering machines, I've left a few of Grandma Snillock on there. Amen. Amen. So if you hear somebody on your answering machine, amen, sounding like an old grandma without her false teeth in, amen, you might know it's me, but once you've heard it, you'll never forget it. God knows the sound of your voice. He knows every intonation. He knows what kind of trouble you're in by the urgency in your voice. Glory to God. Oh Lord, if thou shouldest mark iniquities, oh Lord, who shall stand? And boy, we find out that one of the greatest men that ever wore shoe leather is having a trouble with sin, iniquity, and condemnation. You know how David handled sin? He repented. He cried out to God. And he did it quickly. Praise God. And out of the depths, he said, "There is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared." Hallelujah. He needed forgiveness. What do you need tonight? I'm here to tell you that even if it's forgiveness, and you're in so deep you don't think there is any, and the habit's got a hold on you. Amen. And you don't even feel like praying, and carnality fights a battle with you. And you know unless you get a hold of God, it's curtains. You're a goner. Then you exercise your good sense. And you cry out to God, even though carnality says, "Why pray? You're not doing any worse than some of the rest of them, and that's a big mistake." Amen. You need to pray. You need to say, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." Brother Virgil Waterman, revival up in Michigan or somewhere. Amen. His daughter, brakes went out at an intersection, and she was injured and laying in a coma. Amen. And said, "Oh, God, it's not fair. I'm out preaching the gospel and doing my best for you and my wife and kids at home. And Lord, now look, my daughter's laying in the hospital in a coma." Amen. He didn't get anywhere with God. And finally, as a last resort, he said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." And got somewhere with God. And he healed the sick and cast out devils and fasted all the way through a mini revival. But when he really got somewhere with God, he said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." Amen. Brother L.D. Moore prayed and prayed and prayed about something. Couldn't get a hold of God. And finally, when he ran out of prayers to pray and directions to turn, amen, in his own words, he said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." God help. Amen. I wonder how God looks upon our unbelief. I wonder how God looks upon our presumption. I wonder how God looks upon our willful ignorance. And by that I mean we ought to know more than we know. It's because we're too lazy to read the Bible. Amen. And we don't know a lot of things. Amen. And God's going to hold us accountable for it. Amen. And somewhere, sometime you may have to pray, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I too have failed God. I've filled my life with everything but the right thing. I've frittered away my time with everything but the right thing." Amen. But then, amen, all excuses have long since flown out the window. Condemnation bears heavy upon your heart and it looks hopeless. David's in that shape and he said, "Lord, if thou markest iniquities, who shall stand? There's forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared." And then he said something else. He said, "I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait. In his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning." What is he saying? Two times he said it. I say more than they that watch for the morning. He has prayed out of the depths, cried out to God all night long. More than those that watch for the morning. He's waiting on God. Dark, dark night. 12 disciples on Galilee. A raging storm. But through the storm, the Lord came a-walking. They were so glad when the morning come. Well, wait, wait, wait till the morning come. There's a new day, hey, have begun. Well, hold on, child. Don't be discouraged. You'll be so glad when the morning comes. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy. Thank God there's mercy. Hallelujah. And with Him there's plenteous redemption.